Session two, Game of Thrones, the belt of truth. So let's jump right in here to Ephesians 6:10. Every week from this point on, we're going to be comparing two armors that exist. There's the armor of God, which is what Ephesians 6:10 talks to us about. And then there's the armor of man, which is kind of scattered all over the place throughout Scripture, and we see it occurring constantly. So we're going to dive into the belt of truth, but before we do, we've got to read all of the verses before it, because how many know that's extremely important to read the verses before and after what it is you're reading, because otherwise you can take it out of context, and we never want to take Scripture out of context. That's not our vision or goal. Our vision or goal is to always interpret it the way that the Spirit would have us interpret it. So to do that, just if you're studying your Bible on your own time, it's not very good to just jump in and say, I really love this Scripture. It's like, read what happens before and after it. We discovered that last week when we were talking about the protection of God. We were like, oh yeah, protection, yes, yes. And then right before it was like, if he's the Lord of your life. It's like, oh yeah, that's a pretty big piece. So let's look right here at Ephesians 6:10. I'm going to kind of read all the way through to the belt of truth, and then I'm going to stop. Now, the belt of truth is in the middle of a verse, so I am going to stop in the middle of the verse because I don't want to give away next week yet. It's kind of like the teaser trailer. We can't talk about next week yet. All right, so here we are. Finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And then we'll stop right there. The next part's the breastplate of righteousness. We'll get on later. So I just read you the opening statement, kind of the saying, hey, you got to put this whole armor on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. So the couple of them that we're going to look at, we're going to look at the word stand. We're going to look at the word against. We're going to look at the word wiles. And we're going to look at the word devil. The devil, Bobby. Let's look at them. Stand. What does the word stand mean? It means to appoint. It means, I love this, covenant. You would have never thought that, right? The word stand, you wouldn't have thought like it means, okay, yeah, stand, but in covenant. Refer to the last several months of sessions to dive into covenant, but it means covenant. It means to be placed somewhere. Like to stand means to be placed. So if I was to grab somebody and say, stand here, I place them in this position wherever they're at, right? Stand, okay, in covenant. That was interesting to me. Now, against means because of. So we think like in opposition. There's actually two words. The word against is used a whole lot in this scripture, and there's two words every time they use the word against. So they use one time and one the next time because they mean different things. One means because of, and one means in opposition to. So, well, what's the difference? Well, one is like, I didn't start the fight, but because of, I'm coming. And then the other one is, I'm in opposition regardless of who started it. Think of that. That's like your kids, right? You just heard a kid argument. Well, it was their fault first. Blah, blah, blah. So there's one against that means because of this, you must do. And the other one is I'm in opposition to, regardless. Make sense? We're going to define that. But this one here means because of. Then this word wiles, and we've defined this on over several weeks. But again, I got to say it at least four times for you to remember it, right? So the word wiles means this, something that lies in wait like an ambush. So as we start to read the scripture, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to be placed in covenant because of this ambush. You seeing that? You're going to be placed in covenant with this armor. Put it all on because you're going to be placed in a position and from strength. Remember from the first verse, it was in the power of the Lord and his strength and his might, right? So you'll be placed here because of these ambushes that are going to come. It's kind of like it's not really an ambush if you kind of know there's an ambush coming. Right? Like if you're going through a jungle and you hear some noises, what do you do? You tense up. I'm not going in the jungle at night, but if you guys went and ever did this, what do? You start to get tensed up because you know something's coming. You don't know where it's coming from, what's coming, but you're ready, right? There's an interesting thing that happens. Did you know this? It's actually a pretty cool little device that's in all of nature. Is this right here? Whenever you get scared or anything of that nature or excited or anything, it's actually a transferable emotion. Did you know that? There's this guy named Simon Sinek. He does this whole little breakdown of it, so you can go watch it. And he talks about how it produces chemicals. This happens in animals as well. So like a gazelle, right? This one gazelle, they're grazing in the field. And one of them thinks they hear something. Not even reality. They just think it, and they look up, and then what happens? All the gazelle that heard nothing all look up, and they all just take off running. Why? It's transferable. I want you to think about that, about fear, as we continue on through this, okay? So the wiles of the devil is something that lies in wait. Because of it, you need to stand strong. Now, the last word here, devil, I love this word. Isn't that a weird thing to hear in church? Because here's what it is. It actually means a slanderer or the false accuser. So we personify it and we think little devil with red horns that runs around. But actually what it means is a slanderer. You know, that's against, you can get charged with slander, right? To diminish somebody or falsely accusing somebody, bearing a false witness against somebody, right? If you go in court, what do? Put your right hand on my Bible. This is my right hand. Yes, right hand. Put your right hand on the Bible, and you have to swear what? That everything you're about to tell is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth what? So help me God. Why? Because if you bear false witness, you're the devil. That's what it actually means. It's not personifying to this one individual. There is a Satan. There is a being called Lucifer that, yes, is against us and is in opposition. But what it's talking about here is anything that falsely accuses or slanders. Now, you need to tie all this together because I'm getting chilled. Y'all can't see it, but I'm like Spider-Man right now. All my little hairs are standing up because I love where we're about to go. Keeping this in your mind, right? Okay, false accuser or slander. Verse 12, I know I'm going to go for a minute here. I'm going to go longer than my usual 35 minutes, sorry. I got 4 hours of studying last night to compact for you guys. Now let's look at this one. Verse 12, this is where it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers and darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. This is where my light bulb didn't turn on. It was like too much voltage. Here's what happened. Wrestle. It means to throw down. It means, not like throw down, like, oh, you want to throw down? Take off my earrings. Not that kind of throw down. It means two people that are trying to throw someone down and pin them down. And it actually has a connotation of you are complete when your hands are around their neck. That's what that actually means. That means the wrestling is done. It's an interesting concept if you think about it. And I'm glad that my children are not in here. They're like, we're wrestling, Dad. No, no, no. So, wrestle. Flesh. Flesh is an interesting word. It means what you think it means. Body, right? This is your flesh. But it means in opposite of the spirit. So we wrestle against nothing to do in the physical realm but spirit. Blood. Well, flesh, blood, isn't that the same thing? People always kind of, oh, flesh and blood, meaning like against someone, a blood relative or something, someone with blood. No, blood means violence. We don't wrestle against the natural violence of this world. That's not where our battle is at all. So first we're defining where it's not. It's like, listen, remember like Jesus, like, listen, idiots. Not that. It's not. That's why I said, look at your neighbor and tell him what? You're not the enemy. Just go to the store. That'd be funny. Go to the store, and when you're at the clerk checkout, be like, hey, you're not the enemy. Hey, you're not the enemy. They're like, what is going on with this lunatic, right? No one is the enemy because it's not against the body or the physical or any violence that's happening in this world. It's in something. It's a realm in which we don't quite understand. It's the spiritual realm. Now, the next word here is the word principalities. The word principalities means first or at the beginning of. So against principalities mean against things that are at the beginning. This is where we're starting to call it, okay, this being Lucifer and all of this, now we're calling it out. There is something that happened at the beginning in which we are battling, but this is where it's going to blow your mind. I hope you see this. Okay, I'm giving it away. Sorry, I'm going to keep going. I am horrible at secrets, guys, by the way. Power. You see this word powers again. You know what this word powers here means? Something a little different. The power of choice. The direct translation of that word powers, but against powers means against the power of choice. That's what we battle against, this choice that we have. Darkness means shadiness. Y'all ever heard of the shade room? It's some like pop culture thing going on now. I don't really know anything about it. I just heard about it once. But the word darkness here means shade. Y'all ever heard, oh, they're throwing some shade your way, right? They're trying to what? Diminish you, falsely accuse you, slander you. Shade, that's what darkness means right here. World means a system in which had a beginning but has no end. I'm not going to go into that in detail. I'm probably do a little short video throughout the week that goes into that one. And then the word spiritual means not of man, but of God. So now let's put all that together. And I just gave you a whole lot of definitions. I know it's a whole lot of information. Y'all feel like y'all went to English class. Trust me, you don't want me to be your English teacher. Ain't gonna work. So let's read verse 12 now with these new definitions. For we wrestle, or we try to throw down, not against man or against the violence of this world. That's not what we're against. But against something from the beginning that had the power of choice, and against rulers of darkness, or rulers of shade throwers, rulers of slanderers, against this in this world that had a beginning, but it will have no end. And against things not of man, but of God. And here's where it is, this word, wickedness. When I read the word wickedness, what do you think of? I think of cunning, evil, right? Like, I think of, I don't know, like a really bad individual. Like, y'all remember Enron? Wasn't that, what was that, like in 2004 or 5? You know, Bernie Madoff, something like that. Like, that's what I think of wicked. Like, they twist it. That's actually where we get the word wicker furniture. It's twisted. And that's what I think of. But this word here is not the same word wicked in that nature. It blew my mind. Okay? I want you to write this word down if you have notes. Write down the letter P. Write down the letter O. And then put a little tilde squiggly line over the O. You know, like a little wave. Now I can't remember how to spell it. Gotta look at my notes here. N-E-R-O-S. This word right here. That is a Greek word. It's paneros in Red Oak English. I don't know how they actually pronounce it, but paneros is the word. This word is showing up everywhere. I can't get away from this word. If you've listened to any of the messages that I've taught over the last several years, every time I think it has nothing to do with this subject, it does. You're saying, well, what does this word mean? It doesn't help me at all. I'm about to show you. It means this right here. Full of labors, annoyances, and toils. Unrest. What? I thought we were fighting against wickedness. You know, shade throwers, people who are stealing money from people, all this. Those are the enemy. Remember, they're not the enemy. Well, we're fighting against the devil. Yes, that's a portion of the fight. But there's this bigger fight. Now let me read this to you. And I'm going to say a whole lot of information in a really short period of time, and I'm sorry. You're just like, hit rewind, you know. Maybe we'll cut up the video and put a loop, and I'll just go and say it all over again like 5 times so you can listen, okay? Because I'm about to connect a lot of dots in my mind, and my mind goes like all over the place. It's not very cohesive. Check this out. What are you laughing at me, Sonia? That's no fun. She's covering her face even. Oh, jeez. Oh, laughing with me, okay. If all y'all start laughing, then it's at me, right? So here it is right here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We already defined all this, right? But against a thing from the beginning. That's the principalities, remember? And it's about this power of choice that was given against these rulers of slanderers in this world that had a beginning but has no end. And it's against something not of man but of God, of the spirit of unrest. What that's actually telling us. The battle you fight is the battle of rest. The truth is, the battle's already won. But that's the battle we fight every day. I'll refer you all the way back to Genesis. In Genesis, if we look at it, that actually tells us this right here, that we had a choice at the beginning, and we lost it, and it created unrest. If you actually read the scripture, this word pops back up in the Hebrew, because it's not written in Greek then, it's written in Hebrew at that point. But it pops up and it talks about this unrest all of a sudden. That's the battle you fight. And everybody's like, yeah, I sure do fight that. I can't sleep at night, but then when I wake up, I'm tired. And then when I go to work, I'm worried about this, that, and the other. And then by the time I stop worrying about that, 5 other things have popped up. And then by the time I stop worrying about that, my kids do something crazy. And by the time I get my kids grown and out of my house, now all of a sudden I don't even know what to do with my life because I was living my life for my kids. And I can't sleep at night. And it starts all back over again. Wouldn't you say that's a battle of unrest? That's what the armor of God is for. He said, that's the battle you're fighting. That's the biggest battle you're ever going to be in. It's the devil will come and attack you and fight, and that's great. But all he's doing is planting little seeds of unrest and saying, look, watch this. All I got to do is do one thing. Boop. And then we just domino effect. We self-destruct. It's like James Bond. This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Like, that's y'all's life. You're like, we're going to self-destruct by the end of the day. Stop. Unrest. That's the battle this is showing us that you're really fighting every day. That's why it's called a walk of faith. It's because every day you take a step. You know, when you learn to walk, you start to use a lot of muscles you never used, and that's why it's difficult for children to walk. There's a lot of muscles undeveloped because of the way that we're formed. You know, a lot of other species, when they're formed, they can get out and walk within minutes. But all of our energy goes into developing something else. Our brains. Do you know that? If you don't know that, I'm giving you a little bit of a biology lesson. Someone that actually knows a lot about biology could tell me a whole lot more details. But it's because most of our energy goes into producing our brains, our cognitive skills for the several years. Because we don't need to learn how to walk yet. But guess what? As you get older, you know where all the energy goes back to? After you get all this in order, somewhat. After you get this in order, you start to battle this thing. Because it got development all this time, and now it's got these muscles. Scripture tells us, actually, we read it a few weeks ago about how casting down every imagination, every thought, because they have power, right? This is the battle we fight, this battle of unrest. Who says they look at their life and say, yeah, that is the battle I'm fighting. But we think that it's a natural battle, and Scripture shows us, no, all of this unrest has nothing to do. Doesn't matter how good your job is, doesn't matter how great your kids act, doesn't matter what kind of clothes you wear, doesn't matter what car you drive, doesn't matter how great your wife is or is not, it doesn't matter any of it. Mine is, just by the way, I thought I should throw that in there. Doesn't matter about any of that, that is not the battle you're fighting. It doesn't matter if all that's good, because this is a spiritual battle you're fighting within yourself. And then there are influencers in it. Y'all getting this? That's what blew my mind, because I've studied rest a lot, and I wasn't even defining these words. I was like, let's get to the belt of truth, because that's really some good stuff too. I was like, let's get to the belt of truth, and I was like, eh, I'm just going to look up some of these words. Click, click, what? And I was like, whoa, it helped me understand this battle that I'm fighting every day. And I realized that I thought, can I tell you all a little story about a man named Jeb? No, just kidding. a little story about how my life got turned upside down. That's for the younger crew. So, quite literally did. I went through brain surgery, right? Everybody knows that. I'm pretty sure, like, Trump knows that by this point. Everybody knows that. What you don't know is on the backside of that, while I was showing up to church and, hey, everybody, things are great, I was going home and being like, oh. Self-destruct is happening. Boop. Beep. I was like, oh, if I can just get this job thing in, or if I can just finish that. And my wife could attest to this. Every time I thought, if I can just do this, then it'll all go away. I won't be worried anymore, because I wasn't worried a long time ago. A long time ago, I say, because in my business, it went from a place of not worry. See, the business that I had before this, I started it because I got a word from God, true, honest to God, a man that didn't really know me from Adam at the time. He came to me, he didn't know anything about it. Only my wife and I had talked about it, really. And he says, hey, I don't know what this is, but God said you need to step out. The corporate world has bought your time too much. I stepped out and did my business because God told me to. But then I started doing my business. And it got me into trouble. And it took me from a place of complete and total rest. Actually, the funny thing is, all my studying about rest came during that time period, and I forgot it all, and I started doing it all on my own time, and then all of a sudden I get this brain tumor, and I think about it. It's like, man, what if I would have stayed in the kingdom during all that time? How much differently could it have played out? I don't know. There's no reason to rehash it. We just move forward, and we say, okay, God, I'm going to stay in rest now. That's the battle in which we fight, but sometimes we don't even know. That's what the scripture's for. It's trying to identify it for and say, hey, it's not to do with the physical. This is a spiritual battle. Fight the spiritual battle and watch how the natural. First, seek the kingdom. Then all of these things are added. That's a scripture in Matthew. Okay. That's just the first part of the goodness. Y'all okay? I hope so. I have 20 more words to define. And no, I'm just kidding. All right. So verse 13 right here, because we're almost to the belt of truth goodness. Y'all getting that, right? The battle is the battle of rest. That is what the armor of God is for. Verse 13 right here, it says, therefore take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the evil day, and dunning all, stand. Here's some words we're going to look at. Withstand. That's the word that means oppose. Remember how we talked about against and withstand? And sometimes the word against is also this word, but it means, withstand means to oppose. Okay? Wherefore, taking the whole armor of God that you may be able to oppose, evil. Guess what that word is, guys? Phaneros. Same word. full of labors, annoyances, and toils. That's what that word is. So it's saying, take the whole armor of God. And notice every time it says armor, it says whole armor. It's like, don't forget a piece. Don't show up without one of the pieces. Have it all. Because, why? That you may be able to oppose the evil or the unrest in the day of unrest, or in the evil day, in the unrestful day. The word day there means a period of time. It does not mean a specific 24-hour period or a set time. It doesn't mean that. It just means a period of time. So I almost think that your unrestful time is totally depending on how quickly you can get this armor on. Think about that for a minute. Because that word day there does not mean like, you know, 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. I was going to say p.m. to a.m., but 12 a.m. to 12 a.m., I guess it's both if it's 24 hours, right? Math is hard, guys. So it's not a day, it's a period of time of this evil or this unrest that's coming. And having done all, okay, the word done all means to accomplished all. So having accomplished all, still what? Stand. That word stand means what again? Be placed, be set. Be set and placed where? We're going to talk about that next week. You got to come next week for all those answers. Are y'all seeing this? The battle is the battle of unrest. And he's saying, when you do it, in that day of unrest, oppose it with this armor of God. That's how you oppose the unrest, is you put the armor on. You're in his power, his protection. We already read all that. When he's the controller, he's the authority, when he's the protector of the realm, you put on this armor, you stand, and you oppose unrest in the time period of unrest that's there. And then, having accomplished all that, don't take it off. Keep the armor on. My wife said this several times. Sorry, I talk about my wife a lot because I love her, one thing, and I mostly spend most of my time with her. And second off, she's quite wise. But she was saying, I think it was on Wednesday, we were talking about how, like, when it gets really rough, it's hard to get the armor on. She's like, I think it's just as rough when it's going well to keep the armor on, because then you think, I don't need God, everything's going fine. Y'all like how my voice, like, the more excited I get, it just keeps going up? I've noticed that because people pointed out to me. But you got to keep the armor on even after. That's what this is showing us. This is showing us even when you've accomplished it all and you think rest is there. I'm in rest in God. I'm just, woo, floating on clouds. Still keep the armor on. Stay in that place. Because remember, it's an ambush. It may look good for a moment, but who knows? And when you got the armor on, it's like, psh, that ambush was nothing. Y'all getting it? Okay, cool. Now let's talk about this belt thing, okay? Stand therefore. Again, be placed therefore. This is an important piece. They say it multiple times. Be placed there. In covenant there. Stay there. And having your loins girded about with truth. Let's dive into this real quick. Okay, loins girded about with truth. We say belt of truth. Where this comes from is the armor. Okay, I'm almost done. Sorry. The armor. That's where this comes from. So this is kind of during Roman time periods, okay, that they're writing this. And I did some research on Roman warfare and, you know, how they put on their armor. You know, in the Roman times, they wore these long robes. They were good to walk in, but they weren't good to fight in. And the belt served two purposes. Two. The first one it served was they would take their robe. I should have wore a robe. I could have just worn one of my wife's dresses. That would actually have been really bad in this day and age. So pick up the robe, and they take the belt. And this belt is a little different than what you're imagining. I won't go into too much detail, but they take it and they take all their robe and they put the belt on, and it's got cool flashing lights too. Theirs does. They had LEDs back in the day. And they put it on and they tighten it down really tight to hold the robe up while they're putting on the rest of it. I don't know why. Because it restrained them. They couldn't fight. They couldn't be free to run. They couldn't be free, are you hearing that, to do the fighting that needed to be done because they were constrained. I refer you to a message we did called Chains for Change. They did it for freedom. They needed the freedom to move their legs, to run, to be able to do the fight. That's the first portion of the belt. Now, most scholars think this was interesting. Most scholars think that was always the first piece they had to put on, because they had to get all of that out of the way to where they could do the rest of their armor, because they had, you know, the shoes and the boot stuff to put on. So it was always the first, most scholars believe that was always the first thing they put on, was this belt to hold up the robe, to create freedom to where they could do the rest of what they needed to do. I refer to a scripture right here. It's in John 8:32. shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is the first portion of the belt. That's why they called it the belt of truth. That's why it's not the belt of righteousness or the belt of anything else. These people were not idiots, as I said earlier. They were intelligent. They were trying to communicate something to us. And in that day and age, they understood the belt. Oh, a fighting. Yeah, it does two things. It makes us free. This truth will set us free. And then it'll also do this other thing. Now, this other thing is going to get a little graphic for you maybe for a Sunday morning. This other thing was it was protect the reproductive system. Now, mind you, in those days, men were the only ones that fought, okay? It wasn't like today where men and women, but men were the only one that fought. Think of like a jock strap made out of leather and all this other stuff. That was a very important area, still is for most of us, to protect. Okay, and you say, what does that have to do with scripture at all? A lot. Because the belt created freedom and it protected the reproductive process. So why is it called the belt of truth? Because we are only supposed to reproduce truth in our lives. And if it's not protected, you know what the opposite of truth is, right? It's lies. You know why we lie? We lie to protect ourselves, right? That is man's armor saying, I will make this happen. I will protect myself. But then you're not having the belt of truth. Your robe's all in the way. You're not free anymore. You're being contained by it. And then you're reproducing the wrong things in your life. And you say, oh, well, I don't really lie about things. Like, I tell people the truth. Let me say this. Who's ever thought or said that I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy or I'm a sinner and I God's not happy with me? Who's ever thought or said any of those things? Most of us should probably raise our hands. And if you're not raising your hands, you're probably internally thinking it. Do you want to know why? That is a lie. That is reproducing lies in your life because you're not in the armor of God. Because God doesn't say those things about you. He says, I love you. He says, you're always worthy. Because I did something to make you that way. I did something to stand you in a place. And just don't move. It's yours. All you got to do is stand there. Jesus says it this way. Just believe. That's all you got to do. But yet we get over here and we start reproducing these lies in our life because we say, oh, well, I'm not worthy or I'm not this or, you know, oh, well, I'm not clean cut enough or I've done some bad things. We create these lies and we propagate them in our lives. We reproduce them in our lives. Instead of saying, let me have the belt of truth. Let me create freedom because I know the truth and it sets me free. And then let me reproduce the truth in my life and in others' lives. Lies are another one of those things. Y'all ever played telephone? Yeah, you started off with, you know, we're going to out to dinner. And by the end of it, it has nothing to do with dinner or going out. You're staying in the house and you're watching a movie. Like it has absolutely, you're like, what? It has nothing to do with it because a lie grows and propagates because it has reproductive power just like the truth does. That's why the belt did two things. It created freedom. Know the truth, it will set you free. That's why it's called the belt of truth. And then the second thing is it protects the reproductive so you can reproduce truth in your life. Say what God says about you, not what man says about you. Say what God says about your kids, not what man says about your kids. Say what God says about your spouse or your family or your future. That's one. I've been struggling with that. I told Taryn, I love to envision the future, guys. Like, I don't care what it's about. I like to think about what could be. Stupid stuff, too. Like, going to Mars. I want to start a company called Red Planet Construction. Like today, because someday in the future, that name's going to be worth billions of dollars. So it's like, I'm going to start Red Planet Construction. And the day that we go to Mars, it's like, we're the first construction company. We will make Pizza Hut. Yes. Like, that's what I like to do. Like, you know, because they need pizza on Mars, guys. Whataburger. They are global now, right? Like, it's not just Texas. Right? I love to do that. But all in this time period that I've been going through, I've been in this battle of unrest and I haven't been putting on the armor of God fully. Maybe I put on pieces of it, like faith. Yes, I got faith, but I'm exposed everywhere else. Or maybe I did have some truth on, but I was exposed everywhere else. I didn't have the whole armor on, so I'm battling this unrest, and all of a sudden I start to propagate lies because I no longer say what God said about my future. I start saying, honey, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. Honey, we may end up losing the house. Honey, I don't even want to think about trying to go on a trip because we can't make enough money to make sure the bills are paid. That is not the truth. That is a lie. I am not protecting with the belt of truth. I am bound now. I no longer have the freedom that I had in Christ. And now I'm reproducing things that is not what God said. It was a thing of man, not of God. See, sometimes I get to share like great, airplane stories. And it's like, ooh, Jesus, the man of the hour. Jared was used by him. Or then I'm like, yeah, I screwed up, guys. See, so I get to be used both. And I don't view it that way either, by the way. I would share your stories if I knew them. So be careful what you tell me. These are how we live life. This is how we battle with unrest. And we don't even know that that's what we're battling. We think it's a natural thing. And God's saying, whoa, 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 it's not. This is all spiritual. It's this battle that you have to do, and you have to have truth. Now, the big question comes this right here, and then this is where my wrap-up comes. The big question is, what is the truth? Great. If it says we know the truth and the truth sets us free, it's great. If we say, yes, I will only say true things, but if you don't know what the truth is, how do you know what to say? How do you know how to girt yourself with the belt of truth? So let's look at a few definitions real quick here. The word having right here where it says, and having your loins, the word having means to be all around you, surrounded by. It means to be completely encompassed, okay? Loins is the procreative powers, so reproductive powers. This word with here is this interesting word. I challenge you to look up this word with. It's the word in Greek, en, which in our language is in. In. Stored in, two letters, nothing big, right? If you notice, it says the word in several times, and every time you read it, it means this one thing, in relation of rest. In. So when we say having your loins, being completely surrounded and reproducing in a relation of rest to the truth. Truth is something according to God. That is the definition of truth if you look up the word truth. It means according to God. Not according to man, but according to God. So what is the truth? I'm not going to dive into all the scriptures this morning, but I'm going to share the story with you. The truth is something that, and this is going to tick off religious people, I'm just letting you know, so if you're religious, heads up. So, the truth is something that we battle with a lot. That's why this whole armor of God thing is there. There's a story in the Bible of a woman caught in the act of adultery. Notice it says, in the very act. Meaning, she was doing this, and they caught her. Okay? And they bring her to Jesus. He's at the church. Can I just put it in our vernacular? Synagogue. He's at the church. Says he wakes up early, goes to the church. He's at the church, and they bring her to him, and they throw her down. And they say, according to the law of Moses, she's supposed to be stoned. They all got rocks in their hands. I'm so glad we don't do this these days. They're supposed to be stoned. Okay? What do you say, Jesus? And the funny thing is, if you read the way, Jesus, I love him. I love the way he reacts to things. Because he says they do this. Imagine someone talking, y'all are talking to me, and said, hey, Jared, what would you do? Says he doesn't even talk to him. He doesn't even say anything to him. He's not like, well, he's like, ignores him completely and starts writing in the dirt. Have no clue what he's writing. Scripture doesn't say. Personal belief is maybe it was all their girlfriends. I have no clue. But he's writing in the dirt. Says nothing. Then it says they keep asking him. So then he stands up and he says one simple thing. You without sin, cast the first stone. You got your act together. Go for it. And remember the definition of sin, to miss the mark. It says, so if you haven't missed the mark, go for it. And it says then that they all dropped their stones one by one and left to where it was only Jesus and this woman. And she looks up and Jesus says, hey, where are your, remember this word from earlier, accusers? Where are they? And she looks around and says, I don't have any. And he says, go and miss the mark. No more. That's it. There's a couple things interesting, though, that I found. I've heard this story time and time again. And the thing that always stood out to me was it kind of sometimes gets painted like Jesus said, you without sin, cast the first stone, and they all leave. And then he says, hey, where are your accusers? And she says, I don't have any. And he says, oh, so neither do I. We kind of almost make it like Jesus was like, well, if they do, I guess I will. No. He's like, I don't accuse you. He's like, I never did. I didn't say anything. Why? Because the battle was not against flesh and blood. It was not against the act that she did. She was missing a bigger mark that God had for her life. And this thing just happened to be in the way. So he said, start seeking the kingdom the way I do things. The way I do things is I don't accuse you of it. I just say, get up and move forward. Every piece of your armor that we're about to read about does not protect your back. Because you were never supposed to be turning around and worried about what happened. You're supposed to say, oh, I'm tripping, but I'm walking forward every time. You know, there's another scripture that says a righteous man, we're about to get, I can't talk about righteousness. The righteous man falls seven times and what? Gets back up. I think this story is showing us she's on the ground. She's about to be stoned. And Jesus is like, get up. That's the truth. Jesus doesn't accuse you. And matter of fact, if you keep reading there, he says he goes back. He picked a fight. I love Jesus. Because it says, then he began to speak to the Pharisees. Wait, I thought they left. I don't know this for a fact, but if you were talking to people outside, let's just say, and they all leave, you're at the church, and they all even come inside or leave, and then the very next thing it says you're doing is talking to them, you must have went and found them again. That's what Jesus did. He's like, all right, got this handled. And he goes to him and starts talking to him again. And if you read what he starts to say, he starts to talk about truth in this in-depth manner and starts to say, I know the truth. My Father has witnessed me. And they say, oh, well, according to the law, there has to be two witnesses, you and someone else. And he says, yes, I and my Father. Where's your Father? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they're confused. Idiots. They don't know what's going on. And he's saying, listen, Linda, the truth is that I'm not here to judge anyone. That's what he says. Read your Bible. It's in yours too. I didn't come here to judge a single person. I came here to show you the truth. The truth of what? That this battle that you're fighting of unrest has nothing to do with the actions that you do in your life. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with where you're headed. It has to do with where you're looking. It has to do with pronouncing the things that God said about you. That is the battle you're in. And the truth is that God loves you regardless of it. Oh, he doesn't care. He's not even trying to judge it for you. He's just trying to say, I just want you to get in my kingdom. Because the second you start doing it the way I do things, all the things follow. We like to use that scripture, all right, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. I think there's always an opposite of adding, right? Subtracting. If I start to get in the kingdom, all of a sudden these things, they fall off. Because why? I got this belt of truth and all my freedom comes. Because I know the truth, it sets me free. I'm not bound by these things anymore. I don't have to do anything either. That's the truth. But religion says, no, do the things, then you achieve the freedom. Relationship says, love me, be with me, and watch the things we do.